Come on. Amen. We're all revved up. We had a men's conference and it was awesome. We had an opportunity to just take some time that ordinarily maybe we'd be preoccupied with a lot of different things and just give it to God and allow Him to just open our eyes to what He might want to do in our lives. And to come to the point that we could realize that it's really not about us and it's really all about Him. When we got started, I used Genesis in the first chapter and gave the account of creation. And as we were going through that, I think it's the 25th verse or something, is up till the 25th verse, man's not even in the picture. All of creation was assembled before man came on the creation. And you know what? God was worthy to be praised. Amen? And to get our minds wrapped around that, because everything that we base praise on typically is based on how life affects us, what God does to bless us as we perceive it, and doesn't really have a lot of the time anything to do with who God is. We praise Him because He is our awesome God. And to get our mind wrapped around it means that we're going to have a more sober reality of who we are in relation to who He is. In order that we can live in a way that's honorable to Him, we have to understand that clearly and understand that He invites us in to be used of Him, but He absolutely doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He invites us to that place, and that's awesome. Amen? Amen. We think a lot of times in terms of restrictions on our physical bodies. We see the things that we would like to accomplish, and we see them as impossible many times because of frailties, weakness, things we can't do anymore, restrictions, things that we would say, well, at one time I did that. We think in terms of the resurrection of who we become based on what Jesus did on that cross. We think in different terms. We think unlimited abilities. We think of the days that we'll run the streets of heaven and we'll be able to do all sorts of things that this body, as it becomes frail, restricts us from. But I just want to shed some light. We're going to look in the second chapter, or rather, 2 Corinthians in the fourth chapter. And I just want to unpack some things that would paint us in a different light, that would give us a new idea about what God might want to do in our lives if we let Him. If you would turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use the deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I want to stop there for a minute. You know, we do a study around here, and it gives us a day-by-day look into the Scriptures that paint very vivid and clear images for us that we can get our mind wrapped around in our culture. And this week we spent some time, this passage right here, the God of this age blinded the minds of unbelievers. And the description that is there is so vivid and powerful because it paints a picture of eyes that have been gouged out with no reference to ever have seen. Because if you can imagine, if you were someone that could see for many, many years and then you became blind and then you would have a reference point that you could look to. You'd have a point that you would say, if I said the color red or if I said, you know, car, truck, whatever, immediately in your mind you would have a reference point. But this passage is talking about that Satan so blinds people that it's as if their eyes were gouged out and they have no reference point to draw from. And I think about what God wants to do in and through our lives. The message that we live through our lives to a world that cannot perceive it unless somehow we embody the message of the gospel with our lives. Which means that we're going to have to take it a little deeper than just a casual walk through life. Or maybe giving God the courtesies of being maybe a religious person. That we're going to have to be so invested that we would look out at the multitudes and weep. That we would have a concept of what it would be to be blind like that. If we could imagine that our Savior that we cherish, God the Father who sent him, the Holy Spirit who indwells us, if that was not ours. If we had no concept of even what that meant, and no ability to comprehend it, would we not want somebody to come rescue us? Are you with me? Would you not want somebody that would be so committed to the message of the cross that's on the inside, that has received the Holy Spirit's indwelling for promptings, that he would show you when and where and what to do, and that Jesus that died for us would be so cherished in our heart that we could do nothing but try to reach this world for him. And we'd be praising God the Father for not wiping us out in Genesis, where he grew very, very, very discouraged with us in the sixth chapter of Genesis. But he didn't. And his grace and his mercies are alive and they're real forever. And guess what? We are the image of Christ in the eyes of a lost world. Are you guys with me? Verse 5 says, "For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." This jars of clay thing, I remember looking at that, and actually the first time I had heard that, I went, what in the world is that all about? And now I've come to understand what it's about. And this picture of a jar of clay was common pottery that was used for anybody. And they would store things in it, from their valuables, as small as they may be, to water that would keep it cool and help it not to evaporate. And in our minds, we don't sometimes understand the picture that is here, that jar of clay is common. The rich and the elite would have marble or precious metals or wood carvings that would be made beautiful. But that's not what the scripture says. Jars of clay, which were common, anybody, everybody would have them. And the interesting part of it is that as we go through this life, somehow we don't comprehend that's describing us. And the content is God's Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel contained in us. And the significance of the jar of clay, friends, really has very little significance. Nobody that's going in the context that I'm speaking of would ever be picking up from a shelf the clay jar, excited about the jar itself. It was the contents they were interested in. It was the contents that, no matter what, the contents had the value. And even if those jars were broken, they would use them to write notes on shards of pottery, used from what once contained, broken to then be valuable in another way. But not having the ability to draw anybody to themselves. And when I think about trying to live for Jesus, and as we go through life, especially the more frail we become in life, sometimes we think that maybe our days of glory, if you will, are over, and maybe that we don't need to think in terms of what God would do with our life. And we forget that the fundamental fact is the message of the gospel is contained inside of us, and we have very little significance as an external vessel. We don't need to be polished like marble or precious brass. We don't need to be shined as wood that's displayed on a shelf because it's very expensive or elite. Not at all. In fact, as Christians, we need to hide behind the cross of Jesus with our lives. We need to look like Him. The things that we involve ourselves in should absolutely look as if we're a vessel that has no control of what gets put into us. We ought to be preloaded with the gospel. Are you with me? Sometimes that's not easy to do because our minds jack us up and we get all messed up. And we think that there's reasons that would give us some sort of validity in a message that would say that you don't understand. This is this going on, and this is this going on, and this thing is going on in my life now, and how in the world can I display this gospel message when my pot looks like this? The reality of it is, that is exactly what God wants to display. Are you hearing me? We got it all backwards in the church. People think that I need to get refined and I come from this one place, then I get refined to this place, and then I taper down to this place. In reality, it's all messed up. Because you understand, the jar of clay is significant because that's how God shows His power. When you think of the scripture that says, let your light shine before man, that they would see your deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In that same passage, Jesus talked about, you don't light a light and put it under a basket. No, you put it on a stand that it might illuminate the whole house and everybody would benefit from it. In that picture, do you understand? God is in the business of putting us on a stand to illuminate this world, and we look like sharp jars of clay. But Jesus shines through us. And that's what infatuates this world. They see the Christ in us. They don't see the jar. In fact, when they look and they see something that's very unusual, what is that glow? Can you imagine? It's like looking at a burning bush. What is this bush? Do you understand? The bush had no significance. God's power had the significance. In the same way, this jar of clay, us, put on the stand before man, would display our Maker. Are you guys with me? So quite frankly, the further you go down the road and the more frailties that may look maybe unappealing to us, we wish we didn't have them. And I dare say maybe it's a tailor-made pot that God has put together that He wants to display Jesus to somebody in a very unique way. Maybe their jar looks a lot like your jar. Only the difference is they don't have the content of the gospel embroidered into who they are. And as a result of that, their life's a train wreck. But folks, listen, as the church, we ought to be different, oughtn't we? Shouldn't we have the ability to shine in the midst of whatever's around us? Listen to what this passage says as it goes on. It says, we are hard-pressed from every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies, our jars of clay. Are you hearing me? This is by His design. We break down for a purpose. Oh, God, I just want to start to feel better so I can serve you. Baloney! It's when you press through, no matter what the circumstances, that people see a light in you that they want. They want it. And sometimes we resist it. You know what was amazing about this conference that we were able to spend time at? For me, the digesting process. I got to go through my segment four times. And I got to see four different groups of men respond differently. Some had different things to say. Some of them, it was an aha moment. Some of them probably thinking it's that nutty preacher again. But at the end of the day, the potential was there for us to get our mind wrapped around the awesomeness of God and that everything He does is by design and it doesn't end with our frailties. Are you hearing me? It doesn't end with our frailties. It doesn't end with the things that we perceive as, I can't do this. When I get this out of my life, then I'll do that. Wrong. The jar doesn't dictate what it contains. And the message is already determined. It's called the Great Commission, folks, with our lives. And that's a doing thing, isn't it? It means that we're going to be put into, sometimes into a place we don't want to be. You know, it's funny because being mechanically inclined, I've been in the shop a lot of years. And sometimes, when you're trying to fix things, especially automotive things that have oil in them and antifreeze and other liquids, you have to drain stuff out of them. And sometimes when you are doing a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants operation, you're trying to get something together for somebody, you haven't thought through the bigger picture all the way. And sometimes some fluids have to come out of somewhere and they got to go into something, right? And sometimes you don't have drain pans like you need, so you got to get creative. You hear where I'm going with this, Steve? Yeah. So it might be something that somebody might say, well, we had some donated things and there's a baby bath thing out there and it's got motor oil in it now. You hear what I'm saying? And it does the job immediately. And the way that it goes is that wasn't designed for that, maybe. Maybe there's a better one that could do it, even with the spout on it that you could drain right into the oil tub beautifully. But you can get it done with the other one. And the reality of it is sometimes we're looking and saying, well, I'm this jar and I have this gospel message, but maybe this jar over here is better equipped to handle the circumstances of this, so I'm going to step aside and just leave it alone. Listen, at the end of the day, folks, I would challenge you to say, listen, are you allowing the God who loved you and redeemed you to call the shots? I used to frequently talk about sometimes when the potter makes us, we want to be this beautiful vase, and instead he makes us into a spittoon. But the reality of it is, some of the things that he calls us to, he's going to display before a world that's lost. And because of our faithful prayers, we're going to be partnering with him. We're going to be praying in behalf of the person that God opens our eyes to, and we can see. We can see into their life, and because of the things they're involved in, it's a thermostat that allows us to know that they're in a lost condition. And because we partner with God in that, we pray in their behalf, and we pray in their behalf, and God begins to take those gouged out eyes, and he begins to give them vision, spiritual vision, and they begin to see something different. Huh. You know what they see? The jar of clay that doesn't look like it's a good fit for a job, but they're doing it anyway. And they say, I want what you have. Are you with me? That's hard stuff to get your mind wrapped around because it means we got to get back in the game. You know, it's crazy. After every victory that you have for the Lord Jesus, the devil always comes calling because it's almost like, you know, when your dog does a trick, you give it a treat. And that's what the devil tries to do with the saints of God. When you have a victory, he tries to bring something before you that's absolutely the wrong answer. He does it all the time when you're fatigued, you run down and all these different things. But at the end of the day, if you remember that you're the jar, then we don't have to be involved in that, do we? We don't have to look at the circumstances that say that I can't move forward right now. I can't move forward. Well, you've done all these things. There's no reason for you to do much more. There's got to be somebody else that can do that. Malarkey. You know, it's funny because Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. Are you with me? How many of you would say that you've heard the voice of Jesus, that he's called you, and you knew that it was your call? Anybody? Yeah? Because you know what that is? That's all you need to know. Because it's that voice that directs our steps. If we can't count on that man, we can't count on anything. It's being directed and guided according to his plan. So whether we're fatigued or whatever the circumstances would be, if he has something for us, he's going to tell us and we're going to hear him. Amen? Verse 13 goes on and says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You know, in this seminar, one of the things that I was trying to communicate to everyone, and I thought it was applicable for this morning, is that we want to praise God. Amen? Does everybody want to praise God? But you understand, the way that we view this world, it's terms and conditions. It's based on the things that affect us, and it's very natural. We're having a bad day. Why would God the Father allow me to go through this? The Scripture says that a father wouldn't give a child a stone when he needs some bread, would he? So we rationalize, we try to figure that because I'm having a hard time, we don't realize that maybe we're being displayed on a lampstand in order that the world would see us. We don't get it, and we lose sight. But when you try to really think about praising God and being an illumination of Jesus in this jar of clay, to be able to be that person, you got to get your mind wrapped around who God is. And I used an analogy of baking soda and vinegar, that when you put the two together, what happens? They erupt. You can't say to the vinegar and the baking soda, take it easy now. I don't want to make a mess. I said when I was in junior high, we had that experiment. And needless to say, I ended up in the office over the deal. Because they told us, put a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I did this. Didn't work out real well for me. But you know what I know? It erupts. It erupts. Huge. And the more it's dry, baking soda. Vinegar is wet. And as it's going in there, as soon as it touches some more that's being exposed, as it's coming off, it's explosive. It's like it's alive. And that's what our praise is supposed to be, alive. Our praise is supposed to just erupt out of us simultaneously, that maybe in the midst of the struggle that we would have the ability somehow to erupt in praise. Because you see, when we partner with Jesus on this mission, then we understand that somehow we're going to be on the stand and people are going to be looking at us and we're going to be our frail pot that's very undesirable. But what we don't understand is the Lord Jesus is shining out of us so bright that it's illuminating people that are living in darkness, and they can see in the recesses of their lives based on the eruption of our heart. Are you with me? But we can go through this life and we can be just like a stick in the mud. And we can miss the whole journey. Because God continually gives us an opportunity to display his glory. You know, it's amazing. We have a friend who's now, he's flirting with 70 years old, and he's part of our motorcycle ministry. And he came from a really rugged background, and he got saved. His name's Domingo, and a lot of you may know who he is. But Domingo had a friend, Ray, and a couple of the seniors that were out at McDonald's, the Hacks. They were in there, and they were just having conversation. They were, you know what they were doing? They were letting their light shine out of their clay pot. That's what they were doing. Because these guys that they were talking to, very unlikely. But they did. And somehow they came across the name Domingo Sanchez. And the guy said, you know Domingo Sanchez? Yeah, he goes, he's dead. And they said, no, he's very alive. He's very alive. And they said, well, we heard the house that he had burned. And a friend of mine had told me that Domingo had died. So the Hacks took the phone number of this guy, Ray, and gave it to Domingo, and Domingo called him. And the guy said, Domingo, I can't believe you're alive. I thought you were dead. And Domingo said, the old me is dead. Woo! You know, I love to watch the Hacks when they're out here working and doing stuff. I watched them in Louisiana. I watched them serving in Louisiana with flood victims. And when we rolled in there, the smell was horrific. The sight, as soon as you pulled on location, was like, man, what did we get ourselves into here? Yet they served faithfully. And they get back here and they're in a McDonald's and they're still shining. But my point is, they've got frailties, folks. We all do, don't we? But praise erupts out of them. And Domingo, praise erupts out of them. And Domingo invites this man, Ray, and he comes with his nephew on Friday night, and his nephew had obligations on Saturday. And so this guy, Ray, brings his brother for Saturday. And they're going to be here in the second service today. Because these clay pots have the message of the gospel as their content. And because of that, they've come to this place. Domingo, he said, I don't even understand how a God could love me. It's called grace and mercy. But it's true. And because of that, we got a guy that's 68 years old, that the only thing coming out of his mouth is Jesus. That clay pot don't know anything else. And I'm telling you, it's created all sorts of tidal waves out there in the culture of the motorcycle world. Domingo Sanchez is no more. Amen? Guys, I think he gets it. Do you understand? Those clay pots that were made were set apart to be used for particular things. In this passage, we're set apart to contain the gospel message with our lives. And we're supposed to use every opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus to do whatever he would with our lives. That's heavy. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So let us fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what I've really, really realized is that God displays his glory. I had talked to the men that were here for this conference. I had these pictures and I was showing them of these flowers. And they were like this tall out of the ground. We were going to pay a visit at the hospice center. And the temperature the morning before was 27 degrees. And I know when I pulled into the food pantry, I seen mud out there. And I was like, oh, I was driving Rhonda's car and it's white. And I was like, and I don't want to pull in there. I'm going to come out all messed up. But then I realized it was frozen. I was able to pull in on it without incident. The next morning, we're at the hospice center and my breath is taken away because I'm looking at flowers, not a couple, a lot of perennials that are 6-8 inches tall, standing outside, unscathed, not a wilted, nothing, vibrant as can be. And I'm standing in a place that everything on the inside looked hopeless in the eyes of so many because they don't know what the content of that jar of clay is. But outside, God displayed his glory. Are you with me? And in our lives, we can either choose to be frail and see the limitations of us as the jar with no content, or we can realize that the message that we have is that we're hard-pressed from every side, but not crushed. And that we have ability to overcome because of our content. Are you with me? The message that we have in our life, the adversary of God absolutely is committed to not allowing you to display it. If you don't understand that, then you're going to be a pot sitting on a shelf, gathering dust. But if you understand the message that God has given us of the gospel's worth any fight that's out there to have, and that we can press forward and be victorious because God is in the business of displaying us before a lost world in a way that they understand. Because I don't know if you're looking at the same world that I'm looking at, the decay of society, of moral values, the things that run rampant in our society today. Folks, that's not something to have our blood pressure go up about or to get angry about or any of those things. That is something, that is a thermometer to tell us the spiritual condition has decayed to enormous proportions. And that the opportunity that we have to display the likeness of Christ through our jar of clay is to easily for us to understand, if you could really get your mind wrapped around the fact it's not about us, it's all about Him. And that when this world is looking, when they, you understand, when God turns this world over to their own ways, there's a consequence for that. And as they go on their journey and they're trying to do things their way and life has its way, guess what happens? They start looking for light because they're walking in darkness. They're not looking for somebody to point a finger at them and tell them all the things they're doing wrong. They already know it. When they start to get under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we need to be the light of Christ. We need to flip the lights on and let it illuminate in order that they would see their deeds for what they are, utterly sinful. Not by us pointing fingers, but us shining His light through our jar of clay in the midst of darkness, through the circumstances of life, that we would embrace the things that are so difficult for us to deal with. We would embrace them with attitudes that would allow us to erupt in praise in the midst of crazy crisis. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Listen, Paul and Silas were sitting in a jail cell at midnight, beaten, human waste on the floor, rats, and anything that you can imagine that would be disgusting. And Paul and Silas decided at midnight it was a good idea to erupt in praise. They erupted in praise. And we know that the walls came down. And we know that the opportunities that God provided, the opportunities that God provided through that allowed the jailer and his household to be saved. Because they didn't look at their circumstances as I can't. They didn't look at the walls falling in as freedom that God just provided. They understood that they were jars. And the gospel message was contained in them, and the opportunity that was provided was in order to accomplish the mission. And therefore they did. Can we get our minds wrapped around that? Can we get our minds wrapped around that God wants to do something amazing with our lives? And the more things that would the world would say makes it impossible, those are the things that God's going to make it say, it is possible. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. My grandpa always used to say, can't, never could. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let that be our prayer. Let God have his way in your life. Realize the frailties that you came in the door with. Some of them are the very things that God has given you to be entrusted with, to allow him to shine through you. Let him put you on that lampstand. Let him show you to this world, and as a result, let your praises erupt forth, that you'd be effective for his cause. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, thank you for the fact that you love us like you do. But God, thank you that you're worthy of praise, even, God, when we're in the midst of our own self, which you'd break through. You're worthy of praise, God, because you are God. Would you help us to get our eyes off ourselves? Would you help us to not see the world through a lens that is so shadowed with our own ideas and our own ailments? Help us to see you, God. Help us to realize that the message of the cross has already been paid for, and you've invited us in, and you've entrusted us with that message. God, would you help us to display it proudly? Would you help us to erupt in a way, God, that the world would take note? God, we thank you for this time here. Now as we go from this place, help us to put it into practice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.